Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking again about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to see if we can Skype in a call from North Dakota. We had one of our trustees and ministers have his house burned down suddenly, and usually that's the way it happens. Houses don't burn down with advance notice. They usually burn down suddenly. And a number of people have been coming from different congregations and helping them rebuild a new house that is suitable both for their budget and for the climate in North Dakota. And so we're going to try to contact them and talk with them and see how the work progress is going. And they want to get back to work, so we'll go right to Scott in North Dakota. Scott, are you there?
Yeah, I am, Greg.
Okay.
It's been a great experience so far. Just to kind of recap, we're kind of the second crew that showed up to help Michael, who's the his church at James River minister. We had the minister that's his church at Lake of the Oaks, and one of the elders, Jason, from Ohio, and they brought their two oldest boys with them, and they were here for about a week. And then we showed up as the relief crew, I guess, and we did have one day where we were all together. We showed up this past Tuesday night, so Wednesday we were all together, and then Thursday they left in the morning. And it was amazing to see how far they've gotten in that week, and I hope we can at least match that output effort. I don't know. I think with those two young boys, they were able to kick it up a notch. So all of us here, we're pushing in our 50s, pushing upwards. So we don't work quite as well as those teenagers do, but that Sloan and Zach, they were pumping it out pretty good. So, but anyway, yeah, we came in, and it was actually kind of nice because recently Michael, I became his minister, so this was the first time here at working on his house where all of the elders that I serve as their minister, we were all together in the flesh instead of being on a phone call. That was really cool. And we had some pretty good conversations at night around the campfire that Wednesday night when we were all here, Tuesday night, I guess, a little bit. And then I think the work slowed down a little bit on Wednesday because we were doing a lot more talking while we were trying to work, so. But it all works out. The one thing I noticed that's really cool about this is the blending of personalities, because like me, I'm pretty anal retentive about stuff, and others are a little more, you know, on the fly and that sort of thing. So we're all learning how to work together in the moment, and things have changed. What I'm noticing is the plan kind of morphs every day as we do stuff and we see what works and what doesn't work, and the flexibility of the meeting of the minds coming together is really cool. So it's a great relationship building experience. And, you know, hopefully we're not just having that experience, but we're also in the process of giving somebody a stable home and, you know, that's going to stand up to a lot of North Dakota weather in the long run. So,
well, did some of the other fellows want to say something on the broadcast, give their opinions and impressions of this work project that is designed to be like the kingdom?
Yeah, well, I'll turn it over to David Cawthorn next. He's an elder that I serve.
Hello, everybody. This is David Cawthorn from Sioux Falls. Just to give everybody an idea, what we're building here is what is referred to as an earth ship. It's built out of used tires. You pack them full of dirt, clay. You build your walls and stuff. And to kind of recap of what Scott was saying, bringing all these skills of different people together, and it's morphing. This is excellent because we're working together and building relationships, and all these skills coming together and things morphing. We're tweaking this so that we could hopefully in the future have it down packed. So, I mean, it'll just go through pretty quick. And it's really coming together, you know, it's really coming together pretty good. it's just an honor to work with these guys, all the skills and talents that are in this network of congregations of elders is just awesome, you know, and I'd like to see more people coming into the congregations, choosing ministers to serve them so that they, you know, they get those skill sets and come together and work together. That's what it's all about. That's kingdom. And like I said, I'm hoping that we can get projects like this going on because I know that a lot of people out there are struggling. You know, they've got mortgages they can't afford. They've got bills they can't afford. And coming together, doing these kinds of projects can help these people out. And it'd just be an awesome thing to see this happening more often. I'm loving it.
Thanks, David, for that report. I know that Scott wants to get everybody back to work, and we've got a couple other guys there. We'd probably like to hear from Michael and maybe Bill Connolly, I think, is there as well. So,
yep. I'll turn it over to Michael, the owner of the property.
I've had a really nice time having everybody come up here. It's been challenging in some ways, too, with people from different areas. Their definitions of words vary. And just the way you perceive what a sentence means can be a little bit peculiar. So it's been a very good exercise being around folk. And I can totally see clearer than I ever had how emails can be misconstrued because of the angle of our position of where we're looking from. Because that kind of thing can happen when you're looking right at someone, too. So the plan's been able to morph, and we've been able to figure out ways to work together in a more productive manner. I think this kind of thing will speed up, and we'll all have our mind wrapped around this type of thing next time better. I recognize myself that there's a ton of people way worse off than I am. I'm not. There's a lot of complications in life that people just accept as being reality. Mortgages and food bills and heating bills, fuel bills, all these things. This is actually a step in the right direction, I believe, because this type of design actually takes care of quite a bit of that stuff for you, and it makes it a mute issue. We're hoping to replicate such things elsewhere, potentially. Not this year, I wouldn't imagine, but, you know, looking forward.
How's Bill Connolly? He didn't show up with Scott. He came a little bit later. And
you can ask him. Here he is.
Perception, perspiration, and perseverance.
But are you having fun, Bill?
Well, I came with none of it, but I did come with some wood from Chicago because I figured the country boys out here in the Dakotas needed it. And I left the skyscrapers and really took no thought for raiment or food, and got here and there's a corn grain that's got to be taller than Hancock right across the road. But yeah, it's amazing when you lay it down. I mean, and this is really truly laying it down. This is basically working in the dirt, you know, where we all came from. You know, we're gonna shine it up a little bit, a little spit and polish, put some glass on the front of it. We're talking permaculture now. We're talking dog houses, clear stories. So you start from the dirt, and the next thing you know, you got people talking about, well, how are we going to handle this and how are we going to handle that? And, of course, with Mike, he's probably like a spinning top by now. If he's not, you know, if you give him 5 more minutes with me, he will be. But he's handling it real well because, you know, as much as he kicks us in the backside, we're kicking him in the backside because he's the George Washington here. He's got to get up on his horse and get this thing done. And he's, I think the wheels are turning now. And grunt work, I wanted to give a shout out to Brent and Zach and Jason and Sloan and everyone behind them that, you know, put them in a position to come out here because that is truly grunt work. It's tough work. It's slamming, and it's critical. It's the solid foundation coming right up from the dirt. So it's a pretty neat little thing here. I'm very pleased and very fortunate and blessed to be able to help.
Yeah, we ought to calculate how many miles people all traveled together in order to get there to this remote location in North Dakota and build somebody else's house for them in one summer. So it's an interesting project. It's not the only project we've got going on right now, but it's one of the bigger projects. And we'll look for pictures on Preparing You and some of the other sites to see the progress of the work. I've seen some of it, been following it on Facebook. But anyway, we're going to see if we can't get him into a shelter before the snow flies in North Dakota.
Yeah, we're going to try. I think we're all three of us are planning on heading out on sometime Tuesday. But I've already heard talk of maybe at the end of the month, another crew coming back. So there may be a couple of weeks where Michael and his son are kind of hammering away on it by themselves. But if we get them in a pretty good position before we leave, then they can do quite a bit by themselves. They're pretty amazing to watch. So anyway, we'll sign off from North Dakota, and we'll be looking for those video blogs and pictures. We'll get those up as soon as we can. Thanks for having us, Greg.
You're welcome. We'll be in touch. God bless. So, we're back, just me, and they're all back there working. I wish I was there, but I actually heard that I've got somebody else that's come over all the way from New Jersey, and I'm going to have to go see him after the shows are over today. But we also have another project, which was, again, an unexpected project, which is one of our people in Texas was gored three times by a bull, tossed in the air, fairly seriously injured, but he's up and walking around, but not quite ready to go back to work. So we have members of the congregation helping his family operate their own business, which came to a screeching halt with these injuries, and helping them stay afloat. And that's really what the kingdom is all about, is people helping people. Most people think going to church is finding a congregation that makes you feel comfortable, or finding some minister you can tolerate his sermons, or loving your neighbor is having good thoughts in a pew somewhere about your fellow neighbor. But the original church established by Jesus Christ took care of all the social welfare, all the social welfare of the congregations of the people through faith, hope, and charity alone. They did not apply to Caesar for benefits. No benefits. No public education, no health care. Most people don't know it. The Caesar had a health care program. For a while there, it was universal health care in Rome. And to apply to the government was to apply to the fathers of the earth, to pray to the fathers of the earth. This is what Jesus meant when he said, call no man father. Christians gathered once a week, and those that had shared with those that didn't have enough to get them through to the next week. They helped one another. They did house raising, barn raisings. They took care of each other. They took care of the widows and orphans. We see that right away in Acts. Modern Christians send their families, their elderly, their young people, their widows, their orphans, to men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other. Christ said it was not to be that way. Yet these people who do that, which is almost every Christian in America and in the world today, they disregard that statement of Christ. It's right there in the King James Bible. It's right in all the other Bibles that we're not to be that way with us. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not to be that way with us. We are to be taking care of one another. And this was the distinctive nature of Christianity for 1,000 years. But today, with modern Christianity, you don't have to worry about that. Just go apply to the government. And the government will take away from your neighbor so that you can have your welfare, your free education, your your health care. And that's coveting your neighbor's goods. It's that simple. That's not the gospel. That's the opposite of the gospel. That's contrary. That's anti-Christ. So, you know, what I just said there is most churches in the world today that claim they're following Christ are already anti-Christ in their practices. And I can even say in their religious practices, because religion used to be how you took care of the needy of your society. And here we had somebody, you know, he wouldn't like to think of himself as needy. If you met Michael, you would know that he's not all that needy in many ways. But the fact is, his house burned down. And you don't do well in North Dakota unless you got shelter in the wintertime. My own ancestors came to North Dakota from Norway many, many years ago. And people who immigrated to North Dakota, they lived in sod houses. They lived in haystacks sometimes for 1-2 years before they could get up a house. There's no trees, no forest. So to get the lumber to build a house is difficult, and a bat and board shack isn't going to make it through the North Dakota winter very easy, although some people survived in that. So they had to build homes that would protect them from those cold, cold winters. Fortunately, my ancestors who came to North Dakota farm was on top of a coal mine, and they would go down into the coulees and dig into the side of the hill and dig out coal. There were other guys where the coal came up a little higher, and they would fill up whole buckboards full of coal. And if it wasn't for that coal, they wouldn't have made it through the North Dakota winters. But with this earthship that they're building, it'll be much easier to heat and warm. And it'll be less of a house than what they had before as far as space, but he won't owe any money on it. He'll have it built. It's a labor-intensive process, which is why people are gathering from all over to help with that. And some of the local people have helped in ways also. But that's kingdom. All the help he's getting is free will offerings. Offerings. Free will offerings. That's what they say in the Old Testament, is free will offerings. They ran the whole country, the whole nation of Israel on free will offerings. The people contributed by choice to the ministers of choice, and those ministers contributed to the next layer of ministers through their tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. And this was a government that operated on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And it's interesting. This show right now is actually a show that is taking place originally on the day they began to sign the Declaration of Independence. And that Declaration of Independence, I was going to look up. I just actually got the notice for that this morning. I'm a history buff, so I always get these historical notices as what was historically important on this day. And so the Continental Congress, which was representatives from separate nations called states, began to sign the Declaration of Independence in 1776 on this day. Other things were going on this day as well. I mean, it was the first patent for barbed wire in 1887. There was Albert Einstein wrote a letter to Franklin Roosevelt suggesting that we start a creation of a atomic weapons research program. So that's where we got the atomic bomb, based on that letter, asking FDR to start that. So lots of things, different things happen historically on every day of the year. And if you're going to be the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, you need to start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, or you will not be at liberty. This is a principle of history. You have to, and this is what early America did. The entire social welfare, almost every bit of education was paid for by free will offerings. Even the public schools were mostly supported by free will offerings, and they were only public schools because the government gave them a little boost to get started. And most people didn't even go to public schools, because public schools is welfare. And the spirit in America was an independent spirit of people standing alone and doing their own job, but willing to stand together in the perfect law of liberty. That's why there was liberty in America, not because of the Declaration of Independence, not because of the Constitution of the United States, but because the spirit of liberty lived in the hearts of the people who readily sacrificed their own time, their own energy, to help one another. And this is the key to freedom. This is the key to the kingdom of heaven. And this is why we formed the Living Network, so that you can seize the opportunity to help one another in faith, in hope, and in charity. And stop coveting your neighbor's goods through the power of men who exercise authority one over the other. Stop forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. This was the theme of John the Baptist from the beginning. Take nothing by force. Absolutely don't take anything by force. But if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. If you have a house and your neighbor has lost his house, help him build his house. Some way. Contribute in some way. If you can't drive all the way to North Dakota, contribute in some way. And if people would start to return, repent means to return. Return to the ways that we see Moses and Abraham and John the Baptist and Jesus Christ and the early church operating. If you would return to those ways, your homes, your families would be more secure. Why? Because you equally are concerned about the security and welfare of your neighbor. And those of you who have that spirit gathering together will be able to survive and thrive during the decline and fall of any empire, whether it be the Roman Empire, the Third Reich, the Fourth Reich, the Fifth Reich, or whatever. And we'll be right back to Keys to the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And hear about the keys of the kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. In the first part of the show, we heard the voice from North Dakota, where his church is helping one of our congregants and ministers rebuild their home after a fire. We ought to visit the people in Texas where they're coming along after a disaster of their own. A family was gored, or the head of a family was gored by a bull and has been unable to work for the last few weeks, and other people are taking up the slack for him, or at least giving their all to do so. We would like to do far more of these projects, and some people have asked how you get on the list to be helped by His Holy Church. And of course, we help people all the time, individually, all over. Someone else was in trouble, and I noticed that a lot of our people have gone to assist them by contributing some funds. But the best way to get on the list to be helped is to get on the list to help others. If that is not the message of Christ, I don't know what it is. To love one another as you would have others love you. This is what should be the reason you gather. Like I said at the beginning of the show, You don't gather in a congregation because it makes you feel good. You don't gather in the congregation because, you know, the minister's sermons are short or entertaining, or because the band is the kind of band you like to hear, the music you like to hear. I don't like to go to that church. I don't like their music. I mean, I've actually heard people say that. What does that have to do with anything? That's all about what you want, all about your comfort. Christ didn't come here to be comfortable. And if you're going to come in the name of Christ, whether you want to call him Yeshua or Jesus, it doesn't really matter. It's the character of Christ that makes the difference. We are all a bunch of idolaters at times in our lives because of the fact that we unmoor the principles and precepts of God from the rituals. You know, we had a number of conversations this week on the Living Network, and I'm not going to go through all of them, and I'm certainly not going to go through the details of some of the things that we covered in that process. But I'll share with you at least some information about... I wrote the book, The Covenants of the Gods, to show you, you know, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt make no covenants with them nor with their gods. Make no covenants with the inhabitants where you go, nor with their gods. Over and over again, it's repeated in the Bible, this idea of making some sort of contract. Even Christ says, swear not. James says, above all else, stop the taking of oaths. Because in these agreements that you make, you bind yourself and you bind your children. A lot of people say, oh, well, we don't have to obey those old contracts, you know, that were probably not given with our pure consent and all this kind of stuff. The fact is, the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt because of the contract of their parents hundreds of years before. And they were still bound by that contract. And that was called bondage because they had to pay 20% of everything they earned into the government. That was called bondage. I mean, even the word Egypt means bondage. And what was that bondage? 1/5 of everything you produced had to go to the government. Now, that's bondage. I don't care what you want to call it. It's not involuntary servitude because you volunteered or your parents volunteered you and you were born in that servitude. Now, in order to make it complete, and we explain this in Call No Man Father, there's 3 steps to that process where the Romans considered that you were manumitted from your natural father and brought under the custody and control of the patronus of the state. And in order to know that you actually did this, they had a thing called birth registration. And they registered it with their religious temple. Religion is how you took care of the needy of your society. That's what it meant. And so you would register that with the temple of Saturn. Now, of course, Christians didn't register their birth with the Temple of Saturn, which was their Bureau of Vital Statistics. They wouldn't do that. And they got in a lot of trouble, especially when they made birth registration mandatory in 168 AD under Marcus Aurelius. You probably don't hear that from your preacher, but then again, you went to a preacher that makes you feel good. That's why you went to church. You wanted to feel good. Or maybe you went to church because that's just always what you did. Well, see, everybody's under a strong delusion now that they're actually following Christ. And they're actually going the absolute opposite direction that Christ sent his first century church. And the church went for 1,000 years. It wasn't until around 1066 that another church rose up in power. It had been around for a long time, but it rose up in power and began to force people to do it their way instead of the way of Christ. So much so that even the rebellious daughters of that church are still doing things contrary to Christ. You see, I just can't stay away from the stuff that's going to get me burned at the stake someday. But one of the things, if you study Roman culture, the private life of the Romans by Harold Johnson and revised by Mary Johnson, actually by Mary Johnson Scott and Forstmann and Company back in 1903 and then revised again in 1932. They're telling you how the Romans operate. Now, you have to realize the Roman government originally, 500 years before Christ, was designed very much after the ancient state of Israel. First thing, it was a republic. After they threw out the Tarquinian kings, it was a republic. If you go to a number of different encyclopedias, it will make reference to Israel being the first republic, even before the Greeks. And the Greeks knew about the Israelites, and the Romans knew about the Israelites. It was part of history. And they, some Greeks, designed their government based on those republican values. What do they mean by republican values? And I'm not talking about your modern Republican Party or anything, because they don't have the same values. A little bit more so than maybe some other parties, but not like Christ. Because they operated according to what the Romans call libera res publica, free from things public. Their marriage was not a public institution. It was a private contract. Their ownership of property was private. They couldn't be taxed on their land. They actually owned their land. They were freemen on the land. Not like a lot of people throw out that phrase, freemen on the land, but it doesn't mean anything because they're just making it up. Because they're not looking at the whole picture. But anyway, if we go back to what Johnson wrote about births in Rome, it says it was believed that this is based on translations of documents, and so he comes to a conclusion, but he uses a particular word, and I want you to hear that word because it shows up in a trial of Christians later on. It says it was believed that a genius or guardian spirit, genius, capital G-E-N-I-U-S, or guardian spirit came into the world with the child at birth. Now, when you say guardian spirit, people are going to say, oh, that's pagan religion. Christian religions talk about guardian angels. So, what's a guardian angel but a guardian spirit? Don't get caught up in the terminology. Now, it really, the essence of what is going on in a particular culture has to do with the spirit that's in the hearts of the people. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but let's finish this one train of thought. So they believed that when a child was born, this genius or guardian spirit came into the world at the same time. In the case of the girl, this spirit was called Iuno. That's just a name they put on it. Closely connected to the idea was the celebration of the birthday as the proper festival of the genius. On that day, bloodless offerings, such as flowers, wine, incense, cakes, were made to the genius. But somebody actually consumed these cakes and everything. I tell a story about in ancient Israel, they'd make cakes, which were more like biscuits. And little ones. And whenever somebody was married or somebody was born, you would go around to the small children and you'd bake these little biscuits or scones and you'd hand them to the children and say, so-and-so was married today. why'd they do that? It was a way of making a record in the minds of the children, because it was important that society would have that record to know they were married, this is the day their child was born, and you would know. Why? Because the people were responsible for caring for that child if the parents died. They were responsible for making sure that child received its inheritance, whatever belonged to the parents, their land. Today, all you inherit from your parents is debt and slavery, because they've been whoring after other gods. They've been going away from the ways of Christ because they've been following a modern religion that teaches Antichrist teachings, false Antichrist teachings, saying it's okay to apply to men who call themselves benefactors and take away from your neighbor so that you can be comfortable and secure. That's Antichrist. That's contrary to the ways of Christ in the early church, contrary to the ways of Moses. Christ and Moses were in agreement. So many people want to go back and become Messianic Jews. And, and they're trying to learn all the stuff that the Pharisees were teaching, exactly the way the Pharisees were teaching it. But the Pharisees didn't recognize Christ. Why? Because they had set up a system that forced the contributions of the people. And Christ said, no, that makes the word of God to none effect. So anyway, back to this genius. And they made these sacrifices so that people would eat these cakes and receive the wine and the flowers and the incense and everything, and they would make a memory, a record, in the minds of the society in which they live. This is the day so-and-so was born. They talk about fresh white garments were worn. How did they get fresh white garments? They washed them. They baptized their garments. Isn't that what they were doing at the foot of Mount Sinai? Why are the Romans doing it? They knew those traditions. Nobody even knows exactly where the Romans came from. Were the Romans Israelites? And this is 500 B.C. when the Romans really started throwing out the Tarquinian kings. Who were the Etruscans before that? Anyway, so they put on these fresh white garments. They sent letters of congratulations to people to let them know. What are they doing? Again, they're making a record that were received by friends and members of the household. And there was usually a feast, a big dinner. I just got notice that somebody passed away in California from somebody who had come to the Burning Bush Festival. And they're having a dinner in honor of that person. It's important to know this is a matter of social records. But today, your social records are stamped by the government and put in the Bureau of Vital Statistics, which is your modern-day Temple of Saturn. Because, and why do you do that? So that they will be ready for their benefits from men who exercise authority one over the other. That's the way you guys do it today. And that's the way many guys did it back in the days of Jesus Christ in the early church. But it wasn't the way the Christians were doing it. Now, at a Christian trial in North Africa, there were Spiratus, Narzalis, Sitinus, three women, Donata, Secunda, and Vestina, were tried by the proconsul of Rome, who offered them a pardon. You see, they had outlawed private religion. They had outlawed people taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. You had to take care of one another by signing up for the state-offered social security called Corban. Romans called it Corban, and Jews called it Corban, because those are the words that meant sacrifice. Why did the Roman Latin word, Q-O-R-B-A-N, sound very much like the Jewish word, Kush Resh Bien Nun, which is Corban? It's because they have a common heritage. The Romans had a common heritage with the Israelites. But the problem is the Pharisees had turned their Corban into a social welfare program where you signed up and had to pay in. And the Romans had done the same thing. They had moved away from the principles of a republic where you were free from forced contributions. You had to contribute to one another through faith, hope, and charity, which you see taking place in North Dakota. But everywhere else in Christendom today, you see people forcing contributions to take care of the vast majority of the needy of the society. Because you have gone the ways of fallen Rome. You have gone the ways of the Pharisees. You have gone against the welfare of Christ, and what should have been for your welfare has become a snare, and you've gone back into the bondage of Egypt, returned to the mire, returned to the vomit of the dog, and you are again enmeshed in the elements of the world, in the bondage of the world. Because you have made covenants to obtain these benefits at the expense of your neighbor, which is the essence of covetousness. And so Peter was absolutely right. Through covetousness, you would make yourselves merchandise, human resources, to be bought and sold. And now you don't like it. Tough. Repent. What does repentance look like? Change your ways. Start taking care of one another. You can't do it. You won't be able to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity alone. You won't be able to do it without a miracle. But that's what Christ is offering you. The miracle of salvation. The grace of salvation. But you got to start going back to your Father's house. And again, what happened in Rome? The ancient tradition of Rome, when somebody was born, they would take that child out to the father, and they would lay it on the ground at the father's feet. They wouldn't hand it to the father. They would just lay it at the ground at the father's feet. If the father picked it up, cheers would go out in the house, because it was at that moment the father had a son or a daughter when he picked it up and accepted it. Because he was accepting the responsibility of that child. He was going to raise that child. I know men who say they're free men and they're running around, and their children were raised on welfare. They didn't provide for their children. What delusion they have. That somehow or other they think they were doing the ways of the kingdom, that they were plowing the road and being a witness. What witness were they? They were the witness of infidels. They need to repent. And they lost sight of the real kingdom. But anyway, let's go back to that trial of Sparatus and Donata and Secunda, who were all burned at the stake. And what was their crime? They were taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. They were meeting once a week, not because the band was the kind of band that they liked, but because they were going to ask amongst them, is there any need here? And if there wasn't, then they would say, is there any need in the next congregation? The minister would know, because he was in contact with the other ministers of other congregations. And is there a need in Gallia or in Ephesus? Is there a need there? Because we can send something there. In hopes, casting our bread upon the waters in hopes that it comes back to us. This is the genius of Christ. This is the genius of God. But you guys all have another idea. Let's force our neighbor to contribute to our welfare, because we want free education, free schools. Everybody's worried about Common Core. We have a recent article that we put up on the Preparing You site. If you join the network, the Living Network, at thelivingnetwork.org, and Preparing You, or at His Holy Church, it's all the same network. If you join it, they'll tell you where that article is. But Common Core isn't the problem. It's the fact that you're sending your kids to public school at all. So anyway, this genius is mentioned in this trial. Saturninus, Proconsul of Africa, in 180 CE, addressed this seeming antisocial behavior of these Christians who would soon be martyred. And he said, "We too are religious. Our religion is simple. We swear," you heard that, swear, sign under penalty of perjury, "by the genius of our Lord, the Emperor, who we apply for his benefits, as you also ought to do." This is what he was saying to Spiratus and Donata and Secunda before he burned them at the stake. Because they would not sign up for the social welfare of Rome, through the temples of Rome, through the public institutions of Rome. Because they knew that public welfare was not based on free will offerings. It was, like John the Baptist said, based on force. People were forcing, pressing people to contribute to the church of the state, to take care of the needy of the state. True Christians like Spiratus, one of these 12 being tried, there were hundreds that were burned, would not apply to the emperor for their daily bread. Because Christ said to pray to the Father for your daily bread. And they pray in church for the daily bread of the Father to come to them by way of free will offerings. In a common welfare, in a communion of love. This is Christianity. I don't know what you guys are doing in your church, but that's Christianity. Their Lord was the King of Kings, the ruler of all nations. And so what does Prada say? He says, "I know not the genius of the emperor." I have no relationship with the genius of the emperor. "Of this world." What word do you think he used there in the Greek for "this world"? It's the world that Jesus' kingdom was not a part of. It's the constitutional order and system of Rome. There is another king, one Jesus. The church should be separate from the states in which it exists. For it is this estate of Christ. But your modern ministers can't say that. Because they say they serve Christ, but they eat at the table of Caesar. "But I serve the God of heaven," Spiratus goes on to say. He doesn't serve the God of Rome, or the God of Toronto, or the God of London, or the God of Washington, D.C., the ruling judges of those. "I serve the God of heaven," he says, "whom no mortal man hath ever seen or can see. I never committed any crime punishable by the laws of the state. I pay the public duties for whatever I buy." He's talking sales tax. "Acknowledging the emperors for my temporal lord, but I adore none but my God, who is the King of Kings and sovereign Lord over all nations of the world. I have been guilty of no crime, and therefore cannot have incurred punishment." But they burned him anyway, because he wouldn't join their system. So what have you been doing lately? Until we meet again, peace on your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.